Welcome to our second sermon in our sermon series entitled, The Family of God. Today's sermon title, Christ the Preeminent. Open your Bible to Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20, and let's begin.
O Lord, you are the invisible God that we see only through Jesus Christ. So may we see Christ in his divine majesty and in his human humility. May we see Christ in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. As we see Christ, may we believe in him for salvation. May we receive his grace, mercy, and peace. Then grant that we share the wonder of Christ with those who touch our lives. Grant that Christ may bring us grace and truth this Christmas. In Christ's name, amen. I don't know where the word came from, but I first heard it on Sports Talk, the GOAT. You know the term? The greatest of all time. The GOAT. And so I thought this week, who is the greatest of all time presidents? Well, this is who I picked. You got to work real hard to get any better than Abe, in my opinion. He's the GOAT of presidents. Then I said, who is the greatest of all time quarterbacks? And I said, I know who I want to be the greatest of all time. I'm praying for him to be. And then I thought, who is the greatest author? If I could only have one book other than the Bible, what would it be? And I picked Plutarch. You get history and fiction all in one big, thick book. Now, this is a little edgy. Who's the GOAT of your family? The greatest of all time. I know some of you have done family trees. You've looked back in history. You've found some remarkable people. My friend asked me if I was ever going to do my family a tree, and I said, no, I'm afraid I'll get kicked out of America if people find out. I don't know who the GOAT in my family is, the greatest of all time. But when I think of the family of God, I know who the GOAT is. In the family of God, the GOAT is Jesus Christ. He is the greatest of all time. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, he is preeminent in all things. That means in our family, the family of God, the greatest there is Jesus Christ. And this is how Paul explained it in a letter to the Colossians. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by his blood, by the blood of his cross. The word preeminent is not a word that we often use, so I want to talk about it a little bit. Preeminent actually means outstanding. It means paramount in dignity and importance. It means to be first in rank and influence. So when I say Christ is preeminent in our family, in the family of God, here's what I'm saying. The greatest one in our family is not a little Christ. The leader of our family is outstanding. He's competent. He's capable. And it is his desire to elevate all of us with him. I think the deep flaw in Christianity in the 21st century is we have a little Christ. He's too small for the big world. We have a little Christ who somehow or another isn't big enough to handle the crisis of the world. And we begin to reorganize our lives around a small Christ instead of a preeminent Christ. And when we reduce Christ, we reduce our own potential. When Christ is no longer preeminent in me, then my definition of preeminence gets flaky. And I can't even figure out what it would be to be preeminent myself. In our family, the preeminence of Christ is everything because he is the model for the rest of us. And if I can see Christ as preeminent, then I see that I have someone who is preeminent, who's willing to work in me and bring out my best. I'm not alone in a broken world. I have a preeminent Christ to help me and guide me. Why is Christ preeminent? He is preeminent because he is the image of the invisible God. No man has seen God at any time. What we see is God in Christ. He's preeminent in his birth. In the birth of Christ, I see something about the nature of God. God isn't gaudy. He's not flashy. He doesn't have to have the spotlight on himself all the time. And I see God born in a manger, out of the spotlight, born in a way that's even humbling. I see God in the life of Christ. When a leper came to Jesus, consumed by leprosy, people didn't even want to look at this man. Jesus, God in Christ, reaches out his hand and he touches the man that no one wanted to touch. And he said, I can't bear for you to be like that any longer. Be clean. And he healed him of his leprosy. I see God in Christ touching the untouchable. Church. Jesus Christ is preeminent because I see God in Christ's death and resurrection. Christ didn't die a death like you and I died. He died an infinite death. He died a death for all of God's elect. And he was capable of doing that because in Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead dwelled bodily. And people can see the great heart of Christ on the cross and in the resurrection. Now I would like to ask you, in this Christmas season, can people see the preeminence of Christ in you? When people see you, do they see anything of the preeminence of Christ? See, Paul teaches us that Christ is to be formed in us. And if Christ is to be formed in us, that means something about Christ that is preeminent needs to start being functioning in us, and something of the preeminence of Christ expresses itself in us. Are you living anything in your life that could be called outstanding? Is there anything of the preeminence of Christ, the outstanding character of Christ, that you show to your family? Is there anything of the preeminence of Christ that you're showing in the workplace? You're outstanding in what you do. Is there anything of the preeminence of Christ that you show in your cultural connections? And when the Christmas and Easter crowd come here, will they see anything of the preeminence of Christ in our church? Church. He is preeminent. And if we would let him be preeminent in our minds and in our hearts, people would once again see the outstanding nature of Jesus Christ. But if he isn't preeminent in us, how are people going to see it? How are they going to know that that's the nature of Jesus Christ? He's preeminent because he created all things. The creative genius of God is in Jesus Christ. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. When I look at nature and I see the genius and the beauty, I see the preeminence of Christ. Church. Eagles are making a comeback in Ohio. And sometimes in the summer, out by Lake Erie, Sharon and I see eagles. They're just majestic. The genius of God. I know some of you are going to say, well, Doc, what about the ugliness of nature? I'm just not sure that what I see in nature I'm going to call ugly. I like to watch nature shows. Because a lion eats an impala, it doesn't mean it's ugly, church. If there's no lions, the impalas starve to death. The whole herd. They had to reintroduce wolves to Yellowstone to bring a balance back to the ecology. I think we misjudge nature sometimes. There is a creative genius that creates a system that has worked generation after generation after generation, and that creative genius is the preeminent Christ who is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Church? And yes, we broke the world. Yes, we broke the world. But our preeminent Christ through us is at work to cure the broken world. The answer for the broken world is not for Jesus to show up and wave his magic wand. The answer to cure a broken world is for you and I to show up and let something of the preeminence of Christ in us have a powerful influence in making things better. Church. Christ is preeminent because he is the head of the church. Christ is the highest rank and the most important member of the church. Jesus Christ sets the agenda for the church. And he calls the church his body. That means Christ is saying, the most important stuff I'm going to do in the world, I'm going to do through my body, the church. Can you hear that? The preeminent Christ wants to do his most important work in the world through the church. Human organizations have proven their flaws generation after generation. Look, if the UN was going to get it right, it would have gotten it right a long time ago. I can't buy an amen from this bunch. If the UN was going to get it right, they would have done it a long time ago. Amen. What the UN can't do, the church can. Amen. We don't need armies to do it. Our Lord taught us if you're preeminent, you're not overcome by evil. You learn how to overcome evil with good. I know our president said drain the swamp. If you drain the swamp, there won't be anything left. You can't expect Washington to fix the world. You can't expect the church to fix the world. What politics cannot do, the preeminent Christ can do, and he can do it through the church. But we have to remember again that he's preeminent. And we have to remember that he's outstanding in what he does. And we have to once again try things that show we are following the preeminent Jesus Christ. He's preeminent because all the fullness of deity dwells in him bodily. When Jesus walked the dusty pathways of Galilee and Judea, it was the fullness of God in a human body. Do you get that? When Jesus stood up in the boat and said, "Peace, be still," and the storm stopped on the Sea of Galilee, it was the fullness of deity in a human body. Of course the winds and waves obey him. He is their creator. I read to you last week the Westminster Confession description of God so that you could think about the Father. I'm going to read it to you again this week so you can think about Christ, and I'm going to read it to you again next week so you can think about the Holy Spirit. So who was it that was in Christ Jesus when he walked the earth in the Gospels? This is the God that was in Christ. There is but one only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body parts or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most righteous will for his own glory. Most loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundance in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and withal most just and terrible in his judgments, hating all sin, who will by no means clear the guilty. God hath all life, glory, goodness, blessedness in and of himself, and is alone in and unto himself, all-sufficient, not standing in need of any creatures which he hath made or deriving any glory from them, but only manifesting his own glory in, by, unto, and upon them. That's who was in Christ Jesus. And that's why he's preeminent, church. The God I just described to you was in Christ Jesus, and that is why he's preeminent. And that's why he's capable of leading us to do outstanding things so that people see his preeminence. Could I tell you, when Christ rose from the dead, he didn't abandon his human body. It rose from the grave. When you go to heaven, the only God you will see is Jesus Christ. He is the only visible God. You get this? Today in heaven, where angels worship and the redeemed sing praises to the Almighty, they see Jesus Christ, our preeminent Lord, seated on a throne. God Almighty dwells in unapproachable light. The Holy Spirit abides in the presence of God and in us. But the only visible God, even today, is Jesus Christ. Throughout all eternity, when eternity rolls beyond comprehension, there will be one man, and he will be seated on a throne, and we will worship him, because in him abides all the fullness of God eternally. He is preeminent, and he cares for you. He's not ashamed to call you brother or sister. Christ is preeminent because he reconciles us to God. If you would be absolutely honest with yourself, and you would look at your life, you would have to admit there have been times when you strayed away from God. You strayed away. Some of you are on the wrong path right now. If you had to be absolutely honest and you had to admit, you couldn't say that Christ is preeminent in your life. He's nice, and you like to have him around when you need him, but he isn't preeminent. There are other things that have become more important and more outstanding to you and rank higher on your list. And while we live on these wrong pathways, something about life gets real empty. The soul can't be satisfied with the trinkets of life. And so Christ comes back and he whispers us and he says, why don't you let me take you home? Why don't you let me reconnect you in a powerful way to God? You know your life will be better. Church? Christ is preeminent because without him, if I get lost, I can't be reconciled to God. I can't find my way home. Church? I'm groping in the darkness. Only the preeminent Christ is able to come into my life, take a hold of my soul, and say, follow me, I will reconcile you to God. And I think some of you need to be reconciled to God this Christmas. I think you shouldn't let another Christmas pass. You shouldn't waste another year far from God. This should be the year that you join the wise men and the shepherds and you kneel before him and you worship him and you acknowledge him as preeminent in your life and you start living a life that shows you're following an outstanding and audacious Christ. Why wouldn't you? What is it you have found that is so much better than the preeminent Christ? What is it that hypnotized you and put you in a trance that somehow or another, Christ is a nice add-on to my life, but it really doesn't make sense to me for him to be preeminent? And frankly, where does that leave your soul? If Christ isn't preeminent, we're stuck with Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. If Christ is preeminent, then there's something powerful. There's something awesome. There's something that has dignity and meaning and reality. And that someone is Jesus Christ. And he cares passionately for you. You are a member of his family. You are his little brother and his little sister, and he's passionate to see you thrive and do well. So why wouldn't you be reconciled to God? He's preeminent because he makes peace. If the human race has proven anything, it's proven that we are incompetent to make peace. I'm bald and white-haired and chubby, and there's never been a time in my life when there was peace. I grew up during the Cold War. I've told you this. Some brilliant school administrator thought it would be great to make little kids go in the hallway, kneel down, and sit down on the floor and cover your head up. This was to keep us safe from a nuclear blast. Genius. Living in a cornfield in Minnesota, going out into the little school, the one-story brick school, and sitting down in the hallway and covering our heads up. Look, you could cover your head up with a lot of stuff, and if the bomb hits, there's no duck and cover. It's you say goodbye to everything. And this was our answer to a world that was threatened with nuclear weapons. Mutually assured destruction. That was the human answer. The human answer was, let's just make sure that if anybody shoots at us, we'll be able to shoot back at them and we'll destroy everything. That was the insanity that got us through the Cold War. Because man is basically incapable of peace. Church. But when our preeminent brother was born, angels appeared in the sky, and listen what they announced as God's message. Listen what our preeminent Lord was destined to do. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Do you get it? Our preeminent brother, the preeminent one of our family, is destined to bring peace on earth and teach goodwill to men. What we can't do, the preeminent Christ can do. And until that day, listen what he promises. He says, I will give you a peace that passes understanding. Some of you have experienced that. There have been times in my life when everything around me was a whirlwind. But I sat down in the presence of God, and in spite of the whirlwind around me, I felt peace inside me that I couldn't explain. Church, that is the gift of the preeminent Christ. He is capable in a chaotic and broken world of giving a peace that passes understanding. In fact, he's called the God of all peace. The God of all peace is the preeminent Christ. And he's not ashamed to call you brother and sister. Church, Christmas isn't a time where we try to figure out how do I give Christ a gift. Christmas is a time where we ask ourselves, what am I willing to receive from Christ? Church? You don't have anything Christ needs. He has everything you need. What are you willing to receive from him? If Christ gave you his very best, would you have room for it in your heart? Church? I don't know how you are. I'm at a time in my life where I don't like to get gifts. It's too much pressure. I like to give them. I like to give gifts. Sharon and I are, of all the gifts we're going to give this Christmas, the one we feel the best about is the $1,000 we're going to give to this house project. My kids are all blessed. They have more than they can handle. I'm going to give a gift that will change a family for an entire generation, maybe two. I feel real good about that. How do you think Christ feels when he is preeminent and he has the best of all gifts, but he doesn't know how to give it to you because you don't have an open heart to receive it. There are some of you here this morning that Christ wants desperately to give you the gift of eternal life. He wants to give you the gift of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But you've put up barriers in your heart. And you push him away. And you say, not right now. You say, maybe someday. Maybe when I am through horsing around, then I'll be willing to receive the gift. The preeminent Christ offers you the gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And you say in your deceived heart, not right now. Christ wants to give some of you a new approach to life. You've been living under some tyranny. Some sinful tyranny has been dominating your life. And Christ wants to sanctify you. He wants to give you the gift of being free from that tyranny. And somehow or another, you find a way of shunning him and turning away and hoping that somehow or another you'll come to terms with this very broken part of your life when the preeminent Christ offers you the gift of sanctification. Christ wants to give some of you your full potential. You've wasted year after year after year in being mediocre. You've been mediocre so long, you've given up on any dream that you could really do something that's meaningful and outstanding and has value and purpose. And you've contented yourself with so many hours of work and so many hours of leisure, and you've given up on the idea of doing something really outstanding with the single life you have. And Christ shows up to you today and says, I am the preeminent Christ. It's not too late. Let me help you find your best self and do something with your life that has meaning and value eternally. Some of you come into this Christmas time and you can't wait for it to be over. Life has pushed you into strange places and Christmas isn't what it once was. It's the loneliest time of the year for you. Brothers and sisters, we have friends here that will spend Christmas alone. Alone. I want to speak to you. You have a preeminent Christ, and he's able to meet your heart wherever it is. You're never really alone if you have a connection with the preeminent Christ. When all others forsake you, he will abide faithful. Church, he will abide faithful. Some of you say, Christmas can't ever be what it was because the person I most enjoyed spending with is not here anymore. No, but they probably are with the preeminent Christ. And if they're with the preeminent Christ, here's what I'm telling you. They want you to enjoy yourself. The preeminent Christ isn't delighted with your sorrowful heart. And he shares his preeminence with those who abide with him. And if your loved one could be here, here's what they would say. Christ and I want you to figure out a way to have a good time this Christmas. Have fun. Worship. Enjoy yourself. That is the heart of the preeminent Christ and the heart of those who abide with him. Church, we are in a great family. We are in the family of God. The head of our family is God the Father, and he loves us with a love that is beyond description. Our big brother is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed to call any of us brothers and sisters. And he's preeminent, and he's able to make us outstanding in the life that he's given us to live. Our dear Heavenly Father, grant that we can see the preeminence of Christ. Grant that we give up on the little Christ that we have created. And we see the magnificent Christ, the preeminent one, the one who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above we can ask. And I pray that every heart here would be open to receive the gift that Jesus Christ wants to give them this Christmas. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.